Thank you for joining us this morning for the Central Message, brought to you by Central Park Church of Christ in Tilton, where we are transformed by Christ to transform our world. If you would like to listen to this message again or previous messages, as well as the Central Minutes, you can listen to them on our website, www.centralparkchurchofchrist.org. And now, the Central Message.
Good morning, everybody. Morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, today we come to you. We come to you in your church. Lord, we come to you with thanks in our hearts and knowing that you are here with us and knowing that you are going to be here with us. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings that you gave to us. Lord, we pray that we're here to receive the message. In Jesus' name, amen. So, 2020, so about a week old. What does everybody think? All right. Well, I spent my 2020, the first week of it, going to 3 visitations and funerals. It's been a great year already. But it's okay, because we're going to make it through. All right. A lot of people are calling 2020 the year of change. I don't know if it's because they want to change or because it's a presidential year and they're hoping for a change. I really don't know. But today, if you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Ephesians. We're going to spend some time in Ephesians probably for the next 3 or 4 to 5 weeks. I'm not going to put a cap on it because I don't want to, quite honest. If I put a cap on it, sometimes I don't go as deep into it as what I'd like. So I figured I'm not going to. We're just going to keep going the way we want to go. So today we are going to turn to chapter 6, verse 10 and 12. As many of you guys know, I'm sure people have read the Bible, they know that this is the full armor of God. So we're going to start a sermon series on the full armor of God. Pretty cut and dry. So let's start with number 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. As many of you guys know, the Ephesians was wrote by Paul to the church of Ephesians. And there are a few commands in these verses that I would like to go over right now. Command number 1. In verse 10 it says, finally, be strong in the Lord. That's a pretty positive command, right? He wants us to be strong in the Lord. It's pretty cut and dry. Command number 2. It says, put on the full armor of God, so that you can take a stand. I believe that these commands that we have to follow, we have to follow them on how to grow and resist the devil's temptations. We are by far, without a doubt, involved in what is known as a spiritual warfare. Spiritual war, invisible war, whatever you want to call it. It's out there, it's real. It is not a battle that we win with guns or anything like that. Is a battle that we, by realizing the Almighty God is on our side, it is something we're going to win with God on our side. Let's take a look at a few facts that we have about spiritual warfare. Now, we're going to go on from verse 12 probably next week, but this week we're going to stay within these verses. We're going to kind of go through kind of what is spiritual warfare. What are we going to deal with? What are we looking forward to in the next 1 to 8 weeks? What are we going to go over? What are we going to need to know? I will tell you that there's going to be some things that I say that I would like you to jot down on your sermon notes because it's going to come up again and again and again and again. Everything that I've preached since I've started doing this, it's always been a theme in each sermon. There's always been a theme and it's all came together. At the end, in a way, might not. Maybe you don't notice it, but I do. It might not make sense, but let's try to take notes because it's going to be a good one. Number one, things that we need to prepare for and to get ready for this upcoming series and what we need to know about spiritual warfare. Number one, we are fighting an invisible war. The battle we fight in our mind, we have lived this life with obstacles we faced. Has anybody in here never faced obstacles? All right, just checking. I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't the only one. Have you ever sat back and you thought, nah, this has got to be Satan fighting me, right? Have you ever done that? I have. No, nobody? Nope. Yeah, okay, hands can be raised here, you know. Do we need to do jumping jacks or anything to get you guys warmed up, ready to go? All right, so we've all had that feeling, right? Now, when I mean that, I don't mean, oh, I got a flat tire, that must be the flat tire demon. Or, oh, my washer broke. Ugh. You know, those things happen. But we all have had that moment where we've thought, man, this is a difficult time. Satan has to be involved in this. So number two, our foe is Satan, and his goal is to destroy us and discredit the cause of Christ. Let me reread that again. Our foe is Satan, and his goal is to destroy us and discredit the cause of Christ. In 1 Peter 5:18, 5:8, it says, "Be of sober spirit, be on alert. The devil prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." One of the biggest lies that I believe the devil has told the world, it's made the whole world think God is a vending machine. He also has told people that the world is their playground. Has anybody ever heard that saying? The world's our playground, we can do what we want. Anybody? Am I right? It worked out here. We've all heard it, right? All right, so people walk around and ask God for things like he's a candy vending machine. And then they get mad when he's out and he doesn't give you what you want. We must realize that the devil is doing this. It says here, let me get this back out here. It says that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion. He is going to come, he's going to plant stuff in your head to make you fall away from Christ. That is what he does. He's done it a million times in the Bible. I'm pretty positive we don't have time or want to sit here and listen to every time he's done it in the Bible. But we can start with Eve. Adam and Eve. Right? Very first story in the Bible. First thing we know, what'd the devil do? Exactly. He is out there every day doing it to everyone. The devil has planted in our heads that we need to be or act a certain way to be accepted by everyone. But nowhere in the Bible does it say that. It doesn't say, hey, you have to have your hair so look so nice. Or, hey, you have to... I can't even think of a good one. But it's not that way. Appearance-wise, everybody thinks you need to look a certain way. Like, I wish I was skinnier. I gained 3 pounds this week. There went my diet for two. I've already lost it. It ain't been 3 days. But they've made you feel that way to where you have to look and be in a certain way. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible tells us how to act. The devil is very sly and cunning, and he's able to persuade you to think in any other way than what Christ wants. So number three, we're going to follow that up with, we must respect our foe, but not fear him. We must respect our foe, but not fear him. Now, becoming aware of his methods will help you fight it. Correct? Like, the army is not going to send a tank to fight a submarine. Right? It's not going to happen. It will not work at all. It won't. There's no way to combat that. So when we are going to fight the devil, if we don't have the right tools, what are we doing? We're running circles, right? We're not doing anything. So every war has the proper weapon. When I say we must respect our foe, that means you don't listen and obey. It means we must stand guard and protect ourselves. So we understand that our foe is Satan. We know that he attacks us with vigor and ruthlessness. But it isn't just us people that he attacks. He attacks everything. He attacks God's program. He protects us against false prophecies in Colossians 2:8, false religions in 1 Corinthians 10:19. He does it in false ministers in 2 Corinthians 11:14 through 15. False doctrines, 1 John 2:8. I could go on and on. Just like he attacks God's people. He deceives men in 2 Corinthians 4:4. He destroys life in Hebrews 2:14. Do you guys understand that he plants doubt in Genesis 3:1? 3:1. That's third chapter in Genesis. Third chapter of the first of the Bible. The third chapter in the Bible. That's how important it is. Now, we must become aware of this. We know that he attacks. He's ruthless. But all too often, we as people do this. We say we don't have the money. We don't have the skills. We don't have enough that people will accept us. A lot of people go down on themselves. It can cause some major depression. Not feeling good enough for anybody. Has anybody ever felt like that? Felt like, you know, Satan was attacking them so much that we didn't feel good enough for anything? Yeah. We all have, right? On about a weekly basis, probably. But if he wasn't fighting the good fight with Christ, he wouldn't be attacking us, right? He wouldn't have no reason to. He wouldn't do anything to us. If we were following the devil, then he wouldn't attack us because he wants us to continue to follow him. Church splits, church fights, church issues, issues with your friends, issues at work. They're all ways that the devil wiggles his way in. Every time. I firmly believe that that's the problem in churches, is the devil lets them in. The devil just gets right in. We let him in. We let him take care of what we don't want to deal with, or we want to pause things off and not deal with it the way that we need to deal with it. We want to just continue to move forward, and nobody does. It's the same way in life. We sit back and we think, oh, it's okay. I don't need to do this because it'll fix it in a couple weeks. I'll move on. Or, hey, I don't need to pay my house payment. They'll just kick me out. I'll buy another one. Yeah, that don't work. That it does not work. But they think that it'll be fine. We'll just figure it out in a month. No, it's not how we do it. Too many times, people get sucked into these lies. And they start to sway away from what Christ wants and what Satan wins, right? So number four. As believers in Christ, we do not fight for victory. We fight from victory. You guys want me to read that again? This one might be one you want to write down because it's going to be a good one. As believers in Christ, we do not fight for victory. We fight from victory. Revelations 12:11, it says, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. In James 4:7, it says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This is going to be one that you're going to want to remember. James 4:7. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I think this is probably my favorite point to make. If anybody doesn't realize, I am a huge history buff. Not world history, I don't like all that. I like war history. I like it. I like Lincoln. I like the Civil War. I like all the way up to everything. I like it all. World War II is my favorite. I'm the one that has it on Add My List on Netflix where it's in color and it's in black and white. And I probably look like a weirdo because I have Hitler stuff slide through there. And it's not because I admire Hitler. It's because I like to think about what he was thinking. In what mind frame was it okay to do what he did? See, when World War II was going on, Hitler invaded all the surrounding countries because he felt like his people were entitled and it was their right to possess this land. Did he get the land in the end? Am I answer that?
Nope.
He died. He killed himself, so they say. But that's a whole different ballgame. So, he fought and fought for millions of people and he didn't gain nothing out of it. Except for being known as the most evil man in the world. And in history. We have once again have won. The entire book of Revelations pretty much sums it up. We win at the end. Right? Is that right? All right. So, we have the upper hand in this battle. Over the next few weeks, we are going to talk about this. We're going to talk about winning for Christ. We're going to talk about, we could go through sermon titles all day long. Winning for Christ. We're going to talk about the helmet. We're going to talk about the sword. We're going to talk about it all. So I'd like everybody to come listen to it because it's going to be good. It's going to get good. I've been preparing for it for a while. I'm excited. I think we all should be excited. It's going to be great because it's important. It's important to tool yourself to go against the devil's schemes. Now, when I mean schemes, what do you guys, I'm going to ask questions and I want answers. What are schemes?
Plans.
Plans. Plays. Plots. Whatever. Everybody runs them, right? Football, here we go. Ready? In a football game, Super Bowl. We're going to go to Super Bowl because Super Bowl's coming up, right? They have the schemes that they're going to play to win the game, which is what the ultimate goal is, correct? All right. But what does a good team do before a game? Usually months before a game, weeks before a game.
Practice.
Practice? Do what?
I hope
they probably do. I would assume. I don't know. I'm not there. All right. They watch film. Has anybody ever been part of a team that watched film? It's no fun. Just saying. But they watch it. They watch what, we're going to use Tom Brady as an example. They watch what Tom Brady does. They know that when Tom Brady drops back three times, he's going to throw us a pass to the left. Has anybody ever noticed that? If he drops back three steps and goes to the left, they're running to the right. Watch it. It's interesting. Don't ask me how I know this, but I do. No, it didn't. But that's a whole different thing. It didn't work last night. So they lost. I guess that might be a good thing. But was it because the other team was more prepared? Because they knew what they were going up against, correct? So as Christians, how can we be completely prepared if we're not preparing ourselves for battle against the devil? So today, I think that the one thing I want to get through to people, let me get my book turned here to where I need it to go. As I was writing the sermon, I was in Ephesians, and the first thing I wanted to teach about was this. This has been the number one sermon series that I've wanted to teach out at for a long time. I love it, I enjoy it, and I think it's important. But ultimately, I think to know exactly what you're dealing with is what we need to know. The schemes are serious, people. This thing is real. It's no joke. It's out there. Depression's bad. Suicide. It's horrible. 7 suicide funerals last year. It's not fun. all because the devil got in their head. It is not fun. But they started out that way. They were not prepared to fight the battles. Are we in here prepared to fight the battles? Are we ready to fight the devil? Do we know what we need to do it? Are we prepared? Are we truly prepared? Because I know the armor of God has been taught multiple times. It is always taught. It is very popular. Very, very popular. It's kind of like the Beatitudes. I might teach those too. But it's very popular. But if you can't talk about it with other people and know what you're doing, then we're just kind of running in circles. We have to prepare. We have to prepare. So today, as we close, I want everybody to remember that we're here to fight together. We are here to be together, and we're here to fight the devil together. I would encourage you guys to come back next week. It's going to be an awesome sermon series. Invite your friends. It's going to be good. I'm excited about it. So today, as we close and the worship team comes forward, I want you guys to remember that Christ gave his ultimate life for you. He didn't say it was going to be easy. He didn't say you wouldn't go through troubles. He said that you were going to face them. But if we have God on our side, we'll make it through. So if you'd like to come up, baptize at this time, feel free. If you want to join the church, come forward as well. We are here. During this song, we are just going to lift up the name of Christ. So during this last song, if you want to come forward, you can. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the day. We thank you for the time. Lord, we thank you for supplying us with the tools that we need to fight the trouble that we have. Lord, this world is full of sin, Lord, and we just are here to try to show your love, Lord. Lord, if there's anyone in here that's got unspoken prayer requests, Lord, we pray for them at this time. Lord, we pray that they know your comfort and know your feelings and know that you love them. Lord, and in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to our message today. If you have heard anything in this message that spoke to your heart, please don't let this moment pass. You can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This is an important decision, and I don't want an opportunity to pass for someone to come to God in need and to have all those needs met and sins forgiven. If you would like to accept Jesus into your heart today, you can do so right now. If you have chosen to follow Jesus today, it is important to be connected with fellow Christians in a real and personal way and to publicly profess your faith through baptism. If you don't have a church home, you are welcome to become part of the Central Park Church of Christ family. You may want to find a local congregation closer to your home. But whatever you do, find a place where you can learn and be spiritually nourished and where you can serve others. If you would like to speak to a minister, please contact the minister of your local church or call Central Park Church of Christ to speak to one of our ministers. Call the church office at 217-446-8947 and leave a message. Thank you for listening to the Central Message.